Unit 3. The Happy Story of a Tramp.
I gather that he came from somewhere in Kent. And I think the situation was that he lived with his father, who was practically illiterate, and he was probably somewhat inadequate too, you know, as a young boy. And then the father died, and so he just took to the roads. And he tramped and ended up in this area. And earlier, when he was younger, he used to do a tremendous circuit of right up to the Midlands and right down by Tewkesbury and all the way.
Goodness.
So that he used to appear here only very intermittently, you know. And then as he got older and his feet got very bad, giving him a lot of trouble, his circuit became narrower and narrower until in the end it was quite small, just round the villages around here. And then when I came across him, I used to give him meals and any clothing we had, a few shillings and that sort of thing. And so in the end, he really sort of came this way quite frequently.
Ah, so you had known him for quite a while before?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I had known him for a long time. He used to come in the end about once a week, and I gave him a meal, and then in between times I gave him food that he could cook on fires by the roadside and so on, you know, old clothes, that sort of thing. And he kept saying then that he didn't know how he could continue because his feet were frightfully deformed with all this walking.
Really?
We couldn't even give him shoes. He could only wear old Wellingtons because he couldn't get his feet into shoes, you know. And it was becoming more and more difficult for him. And then I said to him, if we could find you a place, would you settle down? And he said, I'd love to. He really was dying to. He was tired, really tired of birds by that time, you know. And so I rooted around and I couldn't see anything. And then I had this idea, what if we had a caravan? He could be there. Then my husband thought, if he's getting on for 70 as he said he was, he should be getting an old age pension. And so he went along to see the Ministry of Social Security, and they were awfully nice, but they said, honestly, we can't, because if we gave every person of no fixed abode, they could disappear overnight, and it just doesn't work. So we had this idea to have the caravan, and that was it. I put it to the girls, and they were very keen.
The girls at the school.
Because they used to meet him, you see, the, our domestic science section is down in the sixth form college a mile away.
Yes.
And they used to come back with the things they cooked, little cakes and biscuits and things. And they used to meet him, and they always shared with him, because they got to know him through my talking about him, you know.
How kind.
And so, of course, when I put this idea to them, they were thrilled, and they all set about with brilliant ideas, you know.
What sort of things did they do to raise money?
Oh, they washed cars, and they gave of their pocket money. Each form has a form captain, and the form captain more or less passed around the hat, you know, for their pocket money, and they all contributed in that way. They washed cars, they did odd jobs for people and got paid for it. And so it gradually mounted up. And then we were doing the Mikado as our production for that year. And one of the girls simply stood at the door when all the parents and guests were leaving with a box and said, contribute. And which they did, very, you know, they were very kind about it too. And so in the end we got enough. Then one of the girls' parents, a girl called Angela Kenlock, her parents were awfully kind. They rang me up and said, we think we can get hold of a caravan, not the holiday type, but the old-fashioned kind that you used to have on the end of a steamroller when they made roads and stayed overnight or something. Mr. Rutley, the old boy himself, he calls it a shepherd's hut. Much the same thing. It's square, box thing, much stronger, in fact, than the holiday type, and far better, you know, in that way. It's weatherproof and cozy and everything else, you see. So he got hold of that, and then he spent the whole weekend decorating it, painting it inside and outside. And then he got hold of a tractor, And he towed it all the way from Whitney on a tractor on a bitterly cold day. The tractor was the only way, because the road down to the place we were going to site it is simply a cart track, you know. And he brought it down that day, and he had been living in this, sleeping rough on a bale of hay in this barn by the edge of the woods. And that's where we'd got permission to put it from Sir Thomas. And so you can imagine how surprised he was. We turned up complete with everything. Bed, bedding, cutlery, crockery. The only thing we hadn't got at that time was a cooker. And we had everything else. We put it all up, and I said to him, I don't think perhaps you should sleep in it tonight, because it smelled of fresh paint, you know, terribly. He wouldn't wait. He was in it that night. He wouldn't wait. He was so thrilled.
Yes.
He was dazed. He was absolutely dazed, you know. And I said to him, now, what you have to remember is that this is your very, very own. Everything in it is your own.
Mm.
Nobody can ever move you away from it, because it's yours. It's yours till you die.
Mm.
And he couldn't believe it.
Mm.
You know, he really couldn't believe it. And it was awfully cozy.
Mm. Really, so now he's settled down and become part of the village.
Oh, absolutely. And he's so different. If you could have seen him, he used to come through the village almost double, bent double, you know, with his sack and a few old tins in it for cooking on the roadside. And now he's as straight as a soldier.
Really?
And he's so spruce and jaunty, you know, and he raises his hat, good morning, lady, you know.
Marvelous.
He's thrilled with himself.
Yes.
He really is. And he looks 20 years younger,
yes,
at least. He really does.
Yes.
He looked so tired and so despairing and so hopeless and so miserable. And now he's all smiles, and he took us along on the tricycle. We got him that also, by sheer stroke of luck.
So he now has transport
as well. Oh, yes, he took us along on the tricycle with the shopping bag in the front, picks up his pension every Monday and his groceries, and then passes my house and collects his milk and bread and leaves the money religiously every week.
Mm-hmm.
And tootles off all smiles to his little house.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes. Yes. It's such a happy sort of story.
Well, he's such a nice old man, you know. He never, ever, ever asked for anything he didn't need. Never. And another funny thing about it, nice thing about it, was that the village grocery store here, he used to pop in there occasionally when he had a few shillings. And apparently he had been walking around here, and someone from quite far away, Tewkesbury or somewhere, recognized him from the days when his circle was much bigger, you know. And it seems that they went home, this man and his wife, and it was a cold day, and they were sitting at the fire and thinking how lucky they were and worrying about the old boy. They came back the next Sunday and they left £10 in the shop and said, if the old boy comes in, give him what he wants, and when that money is run out, let me know and I'll replenish it.
Good heavens.
Which was so nice. And in fact, just at that time he had got his pension and his little house. So he finished the £10 and said, when this is finished, would you tell the person, whoever it is, that I'm all right now, thank you very much.